The Bible says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. Isn't that a shame? Hey, don't you be like them. That girl sang that song. Isn't it a wonder that you're even saved? Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. This is good stuff, isn't it? Amen. You ought to make the application now. You hear me? This book is for you. And the waters covered, in verse 11, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. Boy, there they go, forgetting again. That's sort of like us, isn't it? They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Boy, I'm glad we don't do that. Be careful what you look at. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. I mean, how retarded do you have to be to worship a cow, man? Yeah. A cow. Some of God's people worship some weird things, don't they? They went and made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image, verse 20. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You know what? There'd be no nation of Israel today if Moses did not intercede for them. Lord, I love you. Lord, I pray for your help now as you know what we've studied and prayed over today, what you put on my heart. And I pray you speak to your people's hearts tonight, Lord, and help them. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What I want to do is preach you a little message tonight on Moses, the intercessor. Do you know what we need? We need people to intercede in prayer. I have known some people in my lifetime that prayed for me every day. I don't know very many people that pray for me every single day. But Mr. and Mrs. Elzinga prayed for Miss Keenan and I every day until they died. And then Dr. Don Green, he prayed for me and my family every single day until the day he died. I don't know if God ever raised up an intercessor to fill their spots. But I know this, I need people praying for me. I want people praying for me. I think it's my responsibility and a sin on my part if I don't pray for you by name every day. I'm your pastor. That's just what I believe, like Samuel said. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel. You know what a mediator is? A mediator seeks reconciliation. Look at Ezekiel 22 with me. Ezekiel 22. A mediator seeks reconciliation. When Moses prayed for those Jews, he wasn't seeking for God to wipe them out. He was seeking for them to be reconciled to God. He was mediating for them. You know the verse in Ezekiel 22, look at verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap, before me for the land that I should not what? Destroy it. He was looking for somebody to pray that he would not. And what did he say? I found none. I mean, that's zero. Out of millions. Couldn't find one. Would you go with me to Exodus chapter 17, please? Exodus chapter 17. I want to preach I might chase some rabbits, but I am not going to be real long tonight. I want to preach on Moses, the intercessor, praying. In Exodus 17, I believe we have a picture of intercessory prayer. Exodus 17. Let me pick up in verse 8. Then came Amalek. When doesn't he? Y'all know Amalek is a type of the flesh. Anytime you think you have victory over your flesh and he ain't never going to bother you again, I would like to have a brain transplant with you. My flesh bothers me every day. Will not, just like Delilah, will not give up. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Boy, that's nice to see an obedient child of God, isn't it? So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him, and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So in Exodus chapter 13, what I think I have right here is a picture of intercessory prayer. Joshua is out fighting the enemy. Moses is up on top of the mountain with Aaron and Hur. Joshua is fighting, but Moses is praying. And as long as Moses is praying with his hands up, with the help of Aaron and Hur, Joshua is winning. But when his hands come down and he's not praying, Joshua is losing. And I've got news for you. You and I need people interceding for us in prayer so when we're fighting the good fight of faith, we can have victory. Amen. You parents should be praying for your children every day. You husbands should be praying for your wives and your children. You wives should be praying for your husbands and children. And listen, we only got 40 people in the church. Can't you pray for everybody in the church? It's an intercessory prayer. It's a picture of intercessory prayer. In verse number 11, look what it says. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand. Could I say that letting down his hand, AJ, is a picture of fainting? Go with me to Galatians, if you would, chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians 6, look with me if you would at verse number 9. In Galatians 6, in verse number 9, what's the Bible say? And let us not be what? But what do? We get weary, guys. But what does weariness lead to? Let us not be weary in And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to read you. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. That's why I tell you, you need to be careful what you watch, what you read, what you look at, who you hang around with. Because the devil's battleground is the mind. And if he can get your mind whacked out, that's why it's a, why would you watch some whacked out preacher on YouTube when you go to church and listen to preaching? Now, I got a burr under my saddle. That's good. It's not my fault. It's the preacher's fault. He's telling me all this stuff today. And I want to save some of you from some of that foolishness. You're not getting enough good preaching here? That's why we have Sunday school. We don't just pick anybody for Sunday school. Pastor Matt's teaching the teens. Miss Keenan's teaching the teen girls. We got Tina teaching the kids. And we got Brother Caleb teaching the adults. And doing a great job. A great job. So you get fed in Sunday school. Then you get me Sunday morning. I know I'm getting old, but I'm not that old. And I know some of y'all don't like it, but it's good for you. Amen. It's like your broccoli. Or your peas or something like that. And then you get Pastor Matt Sunday night. And then we crank it back up Wednesday night. And then we have missions conference. We have revival. Say amen. I'll tell you, y'all stay in the house of God. He's getting faint. But look at verse 12. I'm back in Exodus. I'm sorry, 17. Exodus 17. Verse 11, he's faint. But look at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him, and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. What do you see there? He's persevering. Why? He's got some help. I need help. You know that the battle is ultimately won. Why is it ultimately won? Because it's an intercessory prayer. Moses was praying for Joshua and the men. Joshua was in the fight. His hands are up in the air praying. He wins. He got weary. The hands went down. He started losing. So he got some help. And they held his hands up. Every one of you needs help. Amen. You're not an island. You're not able to do it by yourself. Amen. The best thing to do if you want help is to be a help to somebody else. Amen. Remember them in prayer. Listen to me, you are not going to tell me that you're saved and you're walking with God and you're trying to walk in the Spirit, and sometime during the day, maybe it's a lady washing dishes or running the thing, and a name comes to your mind. I mean, out of clear blue. Pray for him. Said, Lord, all of a sudden, Brianna Lynn came to my mind. She's at school. I know she doesn't have any demerits. I know she's typically smart, but she must be having a problem today. Lord, help Brianna Lynn. You all pray for missionaries every day. Okay, so you've had your devotions, you prayed for your missionary, but then somewhere down the road, that missionary comes to your heart and mind. You don't know what battle they're fighting. Amen. Run up a prayer for them. Because someone, you may be in a battle. And the Holy Ghost may put you on somebody else's heart. And you want them to pray for you. And so he's persevering. I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 32 now. I think there's great power in intercessory prayer. I really do. And I'm using Moses as my example. Let's start in verse 7 of Exodus 32. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt." I'm sorry. "And the Lord said," you know, sometimes you get to reading ahead of yourself and you mess up. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down for thy people." Whose people? He's not happy with these Jews. I can remember, "Man, these children of yours are driving me crazy." Like I had nothing to do with it. Y'all with me? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So he goes on. "Thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone,
that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against whose people? Moses is reminding them, they're not my people. They're your people. Which thou hast brought forth out of the land. It wasn't me, Lord. It was you who brought them out. Brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. The first thing he says there in verse number 11 is, Lord, remember your people. Because in verse 7, God had said that they were Moses' people. Guys, when you pray, there is nothing wrong with reminding God who you are. What did he say? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. What parent in here, what grandparent in here doesn't love giving? And we're evil. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven? In one passage it says give good things. In another passage it says about giving the Holy Ghost. Are y'all with me? There's nothing wrong with... You said, well, God knows. Yeah, God knows, but it doesn't... Moses reminded him. Why can't we remind him? I'm telling you, one of the greatest ways to pray is grab you a handful of promises from that book and take them before the throne of grace and just remind God, Lord, you said, Lord, remember, you said, Lord, remember, you promised, Lord, remember, you said. I'm telling you, there's power in intercessory prayer. Lord, remember your people. In verse number 12, look what he says. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of the evil against thy people. You know what he's telling, asking the Lord? Please remember what your purpose was for the children of Israel. Go back. Keep your finger in Exodus 32. Go back with me to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, and look with me at verse number 8, just for time's sake. This is what he's trying to remind the Lord. Let's start in verse 7 of chapter 3. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and, that's a comma, he's not finished, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto the land flowing with milk and honey. In Exodus 32, are they in the land flowing with the milk and honey? They land, no, they're not there yet. And Moses is reminding the Lord, remember what your purpose was for the nation of Israel, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Moses is reminding the Lord, asking him to remember what your purpose for the Jews were. And he's bringing up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises that God had made Moses is remembering. He said, Lord, remember the promises. Lord, remember your purpose. Lord, remember they're your people. And because of Moses' intercessory prayer, God is ready to do what? What is God ready to do? Wipe them out. Start over. Verse 14 in Exodus 32. And the Lord what? Repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He didn't wipe them out. Why? Because it's Moses. Now I want you to look at verse 30 with me. Let's start in verse 30. Came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an what? What's involved in an atonement? I can't hear you. Yeah. What's involved in a sacrifice? Death. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. They're, hey, listen, look up here. We are way too comfortable with sin. We need to get back to the old time Bible ways that sin is exceedingly sinful. Y'all watch nakedness on TV. You listen to cussing on TV. You watch dirty movies. You watch, yeah, and then it scars your heart. So it doesn't bother you anymore. You let your children watch that stuff, and then the children, their minds get messed up by that, and nothing. Their consciences are seared. It should be exceedingly sinful to us. Men and women that are not married are hanging on one another, shacked up with one another, fornicating in public. It doesn't even bother us. It's wicked. That's what Moses is saying. They've sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Oh, it's not a big deal if I lay out of church. Oh, it's not a big deal if I cuss a little bit. Oh, it's not a big deal if I smoke a little dope. I got news for you. You got sin in your heart. God ain't talking to you. Amen. Except repent. Amen. Got people living wicked lives talking about how God talked to them. People don't even go to church. They tell you what you're supposed to do because God told them to tell you. Amen. Bunch of idiots. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. Lord have mercy. I don't even want to hear it. No. He says, Lord, this people, they've sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. Look at that. There's a dash and a semicolon. He doesn't know what else to say. Lord, if you will forgive their sin. And if not, what's he say? Blot me. You know what he's saying, Caleb? I'll die for them. I'll be an atonement for them. I'll stand in the gap for them. That you don't wipe them out. That's dedication. That's a real mediator. You know who it reminds me of? Our Lord. Amen. I'll die for them. Amen. I'll shed my blood. And we sinned a great sin. We were idolaters. We may not have had a literal golden calf, but we had plenty of golden calves. There's a passion in that prayer. This is what I'm trying to get at. We'll pray for our missionaries. Lord, please bless Chad. Please bless Kirsten. Please bless the kids. Please bless the mission station. Please bless the church. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of passion there. I was thinking of Joy and her mom and dad and two sisters. I bet you she prays for her mom and dad and two sisters with passion. She's been there. She knows the country. She knows the climate. She knows the people. She knows the adversary in the country. Plus, it's her mom and dad. It's her two sisters. So I bet you she doesn't just say, Lord, please bless mom and dad. And which sisters are over there? Please bless Faith and Sharon. And move on. I bet you she's praying for some protection for them spiritually and physically. I bet you she knows some projects her folks are working on or some people that her folks are working on. What? There's a passion there. So you know what she does? She spends some time praying for them. We need a passion when we pray. Praying is hard work. Have you not noticed that praying is hard work? It's hard work. You know why? Goes completely against the flesh. Amen. Our flesh doesn't like to pray. Amen. You ever notice how easily distracted you are when you pray? Yep. Have you ever been ashamed of yourself when you've been down praying and a thought came into your brain while you were praying? Yep. That's because it's hard work. Amen. It's a spiritual exercise. Beyond all other spiritual exercises. There's a passion there. That nation had sinned. But the selflessness of Moses. He's acting as a redeemer. Talking about making an atonement for them in verse 32. An atonement is blood. An atonement is death. And he said if someone has to die. What's it say in John chapter 10? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we're glad about that, aren't we? Sure we are. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 9 now, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 9. You see, before the Lord totally answers this prayer for Moses, 40 more days go by. Deuteronomy 9, verse 16. Deuteronomy 9, verse 16. The Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf, and ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and brake them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which he had made, and burnt it with fire and stamped it and ground it very small. Even until it was as small as what? Dust. Not dirt. Not granules. Dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And you know what? What those Jews have to do? They had to drink that water. Dr. M.R. Dehan, the old man who started that whole ministry, he was a medical doctor. And he has a book out, Chemistry of the Blood. In that book, he said the chemical, and I don't understand any of this, the chemical transformation that happened when it ground down to dust and threw it into the water, guess what color it turned the water? Red. Red. And he told those Jews they had to what? Drink it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Can I give you another one? Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. There's a great need, guys, for intercessory prayer. We at Old Paths Baptist Church, we should pray for one another. And I mean with a heart. In Daniel chapter 9, how many knows how many years the Jews were in captivity? Nobody? Go ahead, Joy. They're in captivity 70 years. In chapter 9, they're about the 68th year of their captivity. So Jeremiah knows he only has 2 more years of captivity left. Are y'all with me?
In the first year, Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. See, he read his Bible and studied his Bible, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by what? And supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. Guys, listen to me. When you just think it's other people that have sinned, you're not in a good spot. We all have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. We preach there's an apostasy in the church. Well, what standards, what convictions are you setting back from? Going backwards. I don't need you young adults backing up on what I've been teaching your parents for 25 years. In fact, really, what you ought to do is ring up some new ones and get a little bit stronger in this thing. Instead of trying to look where you can cut some corners and get some more world and get some more worldliness, how about being holy, separated unto God for the glory of God? Let's have casual Wednesday night prayer meeting. Jeans and t-shirts. Coffee club. Yeah, that's how much business you'll do with God. Say amen. No, that's not what we're looking for. Where'd I leave off? Verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants of the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Listen, guys, you and I are going to give account for every message we heard and every time God dealt with our heart and we didn't do what God told us to do. Every message. That's a lot of messages, Dan. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because, why? We've sinned. You know, some people are all messed up. Their lives are all screwed up. They've sinned against God. And they go, oh, why is this happening to me? I'll tell you why. Because you sinned. We're not ready to do that. And I'm telling you, until you're ready to confess your sin and acknowledge your sin, you're not going anywhere with the Lord. Let alone have power in intercessory prayer. He says in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Do you know about the mercy of the Lord? It's because of the mercies of the Lord that we're not what? Consumed. Grace? You know anything about grace? We're here because of grace, Lord. His grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Yeah, I've tasted it. Has it been good to you? How about being good to others? I'm telling you. We can hold a grudge. We can hold bitterness like nobody's business. And yet we brag on the Lord being so good to us and forgiving us and not holding a grudge against us. Are y'all okay? We ought to practice what we preach is what we ought to do. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us. Y'all want revival? We sang it. I want revival. I pray for it every day. I want to pray an intercessory prayer that the Holy Ghost visits Old Paths Baptist Church.
And Peter, I am not asking for hundreds of people. That's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking for some families like Pastor Matt and Miss Steph. I'm asking for some families like young adults that have gotten married that want to live for God. I'm asking for families like, what's your name, Dan and Steph. And I'm asking for single people we can help. Haven't the Kafers been a blessing since the Lord brought them? I'll take another family like that. Would you take another family like that? I'd take another family like that. I want people that want to live for God. I want people that want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I want people that want to live a holy life. I don't want people bucking up against preaching. Oh, man, he's preaching. No. Who needs that? We don't need that. We need people in love with Jesus Christ. People that will shout at a Wednesday night song service. Who wants to go to a funeral service for crying out loud? Go to church. I want to meet with a Lord. I don't want this to be just a tack on to their life. I want this to be their life. And it's just going to be a remnant. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Let me just finish up with verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned and we have done wickedly. Daniel is a godly man who is praying for an ungodly nation, correct? Amen. Correct. And yet he's interceding for them, and he's what? He's identifying with them. We're not above anybody. We're not above anybody. Because of one man praying. One man praying. Israel was not wiped out because of one man praying. Or if I could get one person praying. Most of us have read Finney's revival lectures. And Finney was used of the Lord in a great way in revivals in America. But Finney would be the first one to tell you it wasn't him, that it was the Lord. Don't misunderstand. He gave all the glory to God. But it is a man by the name of Nash, who was from New York, who went to the town where Finney was going to preach and for weeks prayed. There was another man he prayed with, Pastor Matt, and I can't call his name. And he would pray, preparing the way for Finney to come. See, praying, you're not in the limelight. Praying, you're not getting the recognition that makes that flesh feel good. But that praying gets God's work done in a supernatural way. You know what we need? We need that spirit of prayer. We don't just rush through a little grocery list. We pray. We labor. We got that spirit of prayer. And we believe that God hears and God will touch. It bothered me when I read about Brother Byer's wife, Shiloh. I never met Shiloh. I first met Byer when he was single, starting deputation. We have supported him for 25 years. Recently, I saw a picture with him and his wife and his kids in a prayer letter. That's a hard deal. Miss Keenan and I, we have probably prayed for Kevin and Shiloh and the kids 3 or 4 times besides our personal devotions a day because we're burdened. You know, you ever get burdened about something, you'll be praying about something. If we ever really got burdened about a real Holy Ghost revival, we'd get to praying about it. We'd push away from the table and we wouldn't need somebody to tell us to do it. We'd just like to see the hand of God. One person praying. One person with that spirit of prayer could wrought great things. Let's pray.